This is A Matter of the Mind with your host, Mark Perry.
Welcome to A Matter of the Mind. I'm your host, Mark Perry. And you know, most of the time on The Matter of the Mind, because of my background with hypnotherapy, NLP, kind of related facilitative ways of helping individuals and groups really fulfill their potential as a way to think about it, or just connect more into a more meaningful way of living their lives. That's a little conceptual and abstract to talk about. And a lot of the guests I have come and we have conversations about interesting ways to either heal things or explore things, learn about things. And the challenge with talking in verbal language is that there's always this translation between what we're really talking about going on creatively at a more subconscious level, or some people like to talk about superconscious as in terms of, you know, the more spirit or greater creative intelligence is a way that I like to think about it. Talking about it is almost by definition not it. So it's an interesting dance to kind of move around the conceptual, the talking about, and try to get a sense of what it is we're really talking about in a way you can access and actually do something about. And as a musician myself, I know I love that when I'm involved in music, part of the beauty of music, and I think this must be the case in any sort of artistic or creative form, is that when you're involved in the music, it really speaks for itself. At least if you're really allowing the music to come through and you're allowing the music to be the one in charge rather than trying to be in charge of it. I was even reminded of this recently by a really wonderful documentary I saw on PBS recently that was centered on the Troubadour, which is the famous nightclub that most prominently came into being on the Sunset Strip in L.A. Back in like the late 60s, early 70s. And there was this period of time there, a handful of years, where there was this fantastic sort of mini salon renaissance thing that happened there of singers, songwriters. And that was really what the Troubadour was focused in. And there were all these amazing people who just kind of came through at the same time. A lot of them lived in the same area, kind of Laurel Canyon area of L.A., James Taylor and Carole King and David Crosby, members of the Eagles, Jackson Brown, people who wrote really brilliant, insightful lyrics and interesting music. There's somebody else, but I'm not thinking of who it was. But one of the things that really struck me, and it was really Carole King speaking who struck me the most in this, is she talked about she was famous for not being famous kind of at the time that she wrote, you know, the Tapestry album was like the largest selling album up until that point, and just, you know, a singer-songwriter album. And she won three Grammys. But she didn't go to the Grammys. She didn't do interviews with Rolling Stone magazine. Who would not do an interview with Rolling Stone magazine? But she really said, you know, she didn't really want to get into the interview. She didn't really want to be talking about her music. She wanted her music to speak for her. And so, as you know, I love, when I can, to have creative people, artists on the show, and get more into creative process and actually do some of it on the show, ideally in some way, if we can do that. So I've got somebody on the show who, in my mind, is one of the more creative people, or shall we say, involved with and collaborating with others in particularly cutting-edge and creative ways, and is going to be helping us have a conversation about music and creative intelligence in terms of mind and consciousness. And Paul Federici is a Santa Fe-based musician, a DJ, promoter, technician, producer, and organizer. And he's a member of the genre-bending band D-Numbers, as well as co-founder of the event production group Team Everything. His music has taken him from coast to coast, into Canada, and across the Atlantic. With D-Numbers and his DJ Federici, Paul has played festivals, weddings, raves, birthdays, fundraisers, after parties, sunsets, sunrises, full houses, and empty rooms. He has played in theaters, in the desert, on pavement, in living rooms, on boats, in the woods, on shipping pallets, in studios, in parks, in basements, in bars, in clubs, and in the mud.
True.
So, good morning, Paul, and welcome to A Matter of the Mind.
Morning, Mark. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for giving me that to wrap on. That was kind of fun.
Good.
So I really want to get into a little bit of what you're most into, because that's kind of the point, really, with creative process and so forth. It's really about what's happening now. But I think it'd be useful for all of us to talk a little bit about how you came to where you are now. How would you talk about your path to here?
Well, I would say it started at a very young age. I just needed to hit on things. It was a necessary release, a cathartic release, and pretty soon it became a passion for the drums. And was in music all throughout high school, had some really inspiring teachers in high school that propelled me on to go to the College of Santa Fe to study music, an amazing music program, had some incredibly inspiring teachers there. I met some musicians who I still play with now, then 15 mm-hmm. years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And after I finished with school, music was clearly the thing I wanted to keep doing, and it seemed like going to New York or San Francisco or Los Angeles was the thing that most of my music and art friends were doing. And for me, I just felt this kinship with this place and really maybe passively decided that this would be the home for my musical career.
That seems to be a common story for Santa Fe. People yeah. Was the College of Santa Fe what brought you to Santa Fe?
Yeah, it was. It was the College of Santa Fe and the music program itself.
Uh-huh.
And then, you know, the rest of Santa Fe and the creative community outside of the college is what kept me here.
Yeah, it seems to be a common story of people who come to Santa Fe for either totally unplanned reasons or unknown reasons or even specific reasons, or come to visit or come as a tourist or whatever it is, and then either stay for a little bit and end up a little bit getting longer and longer, or keep coming back until they finally go, oh, I guess, you know, this is just where I want to be.
Yep, it has a magnetism here. Folks who just come not knowing for how long and end up here the rest of their life. And also folks, like you said, who come and go and come back. And yep. I see that so mm-hmm. often. And yeah.
And it's an interesting and perhaps challenging choice for a musician, especially if you're a musician who wants to put your music out in the world in a bigger way. Because it's a relatively smaller population than some of the, you know, than obviously New York, L.A., Bay Area, Chicago, you know, bigger well-known music centers. And yet at the same time, there's this, the amount of creativity here is really quite extraordinary.
It's astounding. For such a small town, the amount of incredibly inspired and innovative people in not just music and art, but in science and healing arts. And mm-hmm. it's just such a incredible, you know, go-getter town. Those that are getting up and doing it are really doing some amazing things.
So you said it's been 15 years since you finished with the College of Santa Fe?
No, since I first went to the College
of Santa Fe. Oh, since you first went to it. So
I moved here in 97, uh-huh. and I finished there in 2001, and had a year of like, what the heck do I do? And yeah. in that year, my longtime band D Numbers formed, and so that sort of put me on the path of like, okay, well, this is happening. And in no time, I was booking a few nights a week. It was then Bar B in Paramount, yep. amazing nightclub downtown. Yep. And then in no time, I was DJing at Bar B. And
yeah, I'm sure that's the first place I saw you.
Yeah,
was
yeah,
at Bar B.
That's where I cut my teeth.
That was
really
a great little spot.
Yep, it was a great spot. And yeah, and then in no time, I had a modest music career here in Santa Fe. And I'm like, oh, that's kind of exactly what I wanted, but I thought I wasn't going to find it here. And I did. And, you know, not that it's so glamorous all the time. You know, I take all sorts of gigs that, you know, private parties and weddings and corporate, and which is glamorous in its own way, but not necessarily feeding my creative soul in the same way that my artistic projects do.
So we talk about musical roots. You know, I'm old enough that I talk about musical roots in terms of the 60s and 70s, and I look at technology of music kind of from that viewpoint and what's evolved since then. And so electronic music was, you know, kind of in its infancy then, and has come up through various iterations. And we get to a certain point, and I have to admit that I am much less familiar and hooked in than maybe I'd like to be. So I look at, you know, versions of hip hop and rap and DJ that kind of fits in that area.
Mm-hmm.
some of my roots were like Emerson, Lake and Palmer and Triumvirate and mm-hmm. and Kansas and some of, you know, even the Who, some of the electronica that came up through that.
Mm-hmm.
So when I look at what a DJ is these days, you know, I realize I have a sense of it, but I also have a sense that I have some antiquated ideas of what a DJ is relative to what a DJ really is in most cases now in terms of house music or, you know, dubstep or that sort of mm-hmm. thing. I say those things as if I know what they are, but frankly, they feel even a little foreign to me, even though I have some significant experience just being mm-hmm. in places playing that.
You know how to dance to it.
I know. Well, yeah, my body definitely knows what it is and knows how to move to it. You know, and that's why I say, you know, if we stop trying to think about it and mm-hmm. just are in it, then there's a language that's clear.
Mm.
So I'm curious, for you, is what you explore in music, does it seem automatically very obvious and familiar to you? Or is there a little of what I just talked about for me that's part of your experience about exploring as well?
Well, I grew up with live music in my life and really focused on creating live music, band music, vocal music even. And when electronic music entered into my life, it was totally foreign as well. And it was sort of this cold blanket to put on at first. And then it really started to warm up and it became more and more familiar. And now, knowing all the ins and outs of the genre and a lot of, you know, electronic music history, I'm looking for, you know, the things that I am familiar with, but also something that I've never heard.
Okay, so when we come back, we're going to delve a little more into what that exploration is like in electronic music. You're listening to A Matter of the Mind. We're streaming on SantaFe.com. Welcome back to A Matter of the Mind. I'm your host, Mark Perry. I'm here with DJ Federici. And we left off, we were talking a little about, you know, exploring electronic music, which seems to me would be something that has the potential to be, I don't know how I want to say this, broadly more creative than acoustic instruments.
Mm-hmm.
Is that necessarily the case?
Well, I'd say it's true that with an acoustic guitar, for example, there's only so many ranges of sounds that you can make with it. But with electronic music, you know, you're not just limited to a computer. There's, you know, you have a microphone, and with that you can record anything, and field recordings, audio recordings. I'd say there are infinitely more possibilities with electronic music than, say, acoustic music, for example.
Just in the range of sounds and then how you can process those sounds.
And even these days, a purely acoustic record will go to a mixing studio and be tweaked or affected or EQ'd with the computer. You know, very few productions these days are 100% analog.
Yeah, yeah. So when you were saying that you really started out as an acoustic musician,
mm-hmm.
which I think is a great place to start.
Mm-hmm.
And so electronic music, when you came on, it was new to you as well. So how did that start fitting into the mix with you? How did that influence where you were going with music?
Well, at the time when I started listening to electronic music, or let me get a little bit before that.
Okay.
I was such a staunch live music and acoustic music fan. Electronic and acoustic music, or I should say electric instruments, but live music was my thing.
Gotcha.
So staunchly that at first I was sort of pretty standoffish about electronic music. I thought, oh man, this will never have the soul or the energy of a live band, which to some extent I still agree with. But it just started moving me in other ways and triggering different things in my mind and in my creative spirit that had never been awakened before just in live music.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I'd had a few really amazing communions on the dance floor listening to DJs or live electronic musicians performing house and techno in the late 90s, and that really it was like a spiritual experience being there on the dance floor for the first time with all those people, the huge sound system. And it was just a magic I hadn't ever experienced at a live concert, even with tens of thousands of people.
Yeah, yeah. So there you're talking a little more about, should we say, the existential experience, the experience that's going on underneath what the music is about, rather than getting involved in the medium or the technical aspects of the music itself.
That's right. Modern dance floor music, I think, say in an instance of house or techno, you have the boom, 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 four on the floor, as we say, which is just a backbone or a pillow for the whole rest of the song.
Yeah.
And, you know, an experienced dance floor enthusiast, you know, yeah, they hear the boom, 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 but it's more just below the surface, and all the texture and melody and bass lines and harmony on top of that is the song. And, you know, I think a lot of people that don't like dance music, all they hear is the boom, boom, boom.
Yeah, yeah. It can seem monotonous and repetitive. So there I'm really hearing you talk about that, how you participate with the music as the audience, the listener, the dancer, the whatever, becomes a really essential part of the experience. It's not only about the musicians, the DJ, the person who is expressing the music out, that there's a cooperative something going on there.
Yeah, it seems something fairly unique to electronic dance music communities, where as opposed to a rock concert or a theater performance, you'd go and buy your ticket and you sit and you stand, but you wait through it and then you leave. Whereas electronic dance music communities throw 4, 5, 6, 8 hour, 24 hour, 3 day festivals, long events where it's not about one moment or one act. It's about this arcing experience throughout the festival, for instance. And you might one night be a decorator or a fire dancer, and the next night you're a DJ, or the next night you're just a performer, or you're the cook at your campsite, and it's more about this communal collective experience, which you see at festivals in all kinds of music, but in electronic music it seems prevalent.
Yeah, it does seem like, and there's a little bit of, you know, what's the chicken, what's the egg here in this, that this is something that has been evolving over a number of years and could be looked at, in my view, as kind of coming out of kind of summer of love, hippie culture in some respects, comes out of the early roots of electronic music, comes out of, I don't know, perhaps disillusionment with some earlier cultural aspects.
Mm-hmm.
And so portions of the population, younger portions of the population in particular, but even people just feeling a little disaffected or feeling like they're looking for something more to personally identify with in a more existential kind of a way, rather than just a viewing an event kind of way, that there are these events, you know, Burning Man is a big example of that, of course, that's become much more part of popular culture, but there seems like there are thousands of examples of that going on, not only all over the U.S., but in other parts of the world these days.
Yes, and in Europe especially, and all over the world, it's been, you know, more, it's been happening for years longer, these, you know, festivals dedicated to electronic music and progressive arts. And in the U.S., really, it seems like it's catching on. Burning Man's been the long-standing champion of progressive festivals in the U.S., and Lightning in a Bottle is a new one that's come up, and you see all these smaller ones all over the country and in Canada, and the North America's catching up, and, you know, in Mexico as well. It's catching on.
Right on. So would you talk to if someone says to you, wow, you know, I understand what like a live musician performing is like, and I kind of get what listening to a recording is like, and maybe whether it's electronic or acoustic, you know, I can enjoy a recording. But what's this DJ thing? I thought a DJ, you know, like spun tunes and, you know, and then talked in between. And, you know, a DJ these days seems to be a very interactive live performance something.
Yes. And, you know, maybe in that begs a definition of what is a DJ versus is someone who's performing their own original music with electronic instruments, you know, because you see someone standing on stage with a computer, you automatically assume that they're a DJ, but they could very well be a original electronic, original musician. I'm just making that distinction of which so many folks will say, oh, this DJ you're bringing down, actually they're presenting their original music. It's as if it were a live show.
Right.
But yeah.
So then it's, you know, then it's, are we looking at, you know, a musical? It's a broadening of the idea of what's a musical instrument. If we can use something electronic, a computer device, to produce beautiful sound, then is the idea of an instrument even the same thing?
Yeah, it brings up a very interesting, you know, a long-standing conversation of people who are, you know, on the live music side of the fence versus the electronic music side of the fence. Like, is this even music? Is a DJ even a musician, or are they a craftsman? And I guess it's easy for me to say DJ's a musician. I'm also a musician as well as a DJ. But
right. Okay, so I want to explore that some more. When we come back, we're going to get a little more into that area. You're listening to A Matter of the Mind. We broadcast locally on 1260 KTRC, and we're streaming live on SantaFe.com. We are back on A Matter of the Mind. I'm Mark Perry. I'm here with DJ Federici. And we were just talking about, you know, distinguishing, or is there even something to distinguish between, you know, as you say, acoustic, electronic, you know, what people think of as musical instruments, a guitar, a keyboard, a drum kit, you know, whatever, versus using an electronic device to transmit music that could sound very similar or even the same in many ways.
Mm-hmm.
And yet can be looked at as something different. And this idea of a DJ as being someone who is more taking other people's music and maybe changing it up or whatever. But you're pointing out that, you know, many DJs are really creating their own music. They're just creating it in a different way than what some people might think is traditional. But in live performance, in live interaction, there's still something interactive happening. It's still someone expressing their own creativity, and people who are participating in that enjoyment and giving feedback about it, really.
Mm.
I mean, would that be accurate to say that a DJ that's really on doesn't just come in and play some preset thing, that there's something that they're really monitoring and interacting with what's going on with the people that are there?
Yes, I think even if folks don't know exactly what the DJ is doing, they can tell when they're working, when they're interacting with the crowd, when they're putting energy into it, when they've put energy into it before the show. That's all apparent, as opposed to, you know, when you see a DJ that hasn't put any time in and hasn't practiced, you can tell, just like as if you'd went to see a guitar player who hadn't practiced. But
And of course, you know, any live performing musicians, you know, there's the jam band orientation,
sure,
where a lot is being done spontaneously and playing with things. But there's always some sense of a structure that's begun with, you know, we're going to have a certain song or a certain, you know, structure that we're going to start with. And then we may run with that for a while. We may run with it for 30 minutes.
Yeah.
But there's still an idea of maybe a, you know, a set, whatever. And there's rehearsal for that and practicing that and getting that more integrated and ingrained that I then go prepared to perform.
Mm.
And based on how the audience responds, I'll be influenced by that if I'm tuned in.
Absolutely, yeah. I would say that, you know, the more preparation I do in advance, the better. But then, you know, once I've made all my choices of all the tracks and effects that I'm going to do at the performance, then I'm free, you know, once I've lined it all up to really explore the energetic space with the audience, where, you know, maybe this section plays a little bit longer and maybe the EQs are totally different than I did in rehearsal. But, you know, all harking back to this backbone that I trust and choices that I've made are going to be a good set.
So what I love about the conversation here is that, you know, I love to get to kind of the underneath of things, more fundamental principles. And the idea of blurring the idea of even what is a musical instrument.
Mm-hmm.
Brings to me too, that means in order for that to happen, there has to be someone or some ones who are playing with something more fundamental than the instrument.
Mm.
And so then we're talking about the music and what is that? And we're talking about something very experiential, because it's really about people involved with the music, whether it's one person all by his or herself exploring and doing just for their personal enjoyment, or whether there are others involved in the interaction, or whether there's something called a performance in an audience. There's something very existential and experiential that's going on there. How would you describe what that is for you?
That's a really interesting point you bring up there. Yeah, I would say, you know, the instruments, be they electronic or acoustic, are, when played really well and when the communication is really bright between the performers and the audience, it kind of transcends the instruments, where it doesn't, the diligence of the performance is apparent without, whether it's a computer or a guitar, it transcends it all, just the connection between the performers and the audience and the music.
Yeah, and in your case, you say you work as a DJ, and what that's all about. You also have been for many years part of this band D Numbers, which we call it a genre bending. I think that's a great way to describe it, because that's one of those. Anybody, you know, I love D Numbers, and yet if somebody asks me, what are they like? You know, there's always this pregnant pause. How do I describe D Numbers? I can tell you bits and pieces and things, this and that, that they're like, but there's something unique there. And part of what's unique is that you're really blending acoustic instruments and kind of having a DJ station and computers. And there are things that seem to be happening both that are preset and rehearsed, but things that are very improvised and flowing back and forth between the acoustic and the electronic and what's being recorded and played back and so forth. Is that an accurate way to talk about?
That's a very accurate way to talk about it. Yeah. From the beginning, we've always wanted to meld traditional rock and live music forms with electronic music. And we had to learn electronic music. We didn't know it. So we taught ourselves and integrated different pieces of electronic music into our rig. And building this rig and building this process essentially built our sound as well, where all these little gadgets and big gadgets and keyboards and drums and synths and drum machines have together are our sound. And it's amazing what it's come over the years, all the different parts of the process and how we've changed and grown and how the sound has expanded. But at the core, it always sounds like D Numbers, even though you can't quite put your finger on what that is. It's a little rock. It's a little electronic. It's post-rock. It's got jazzy moments. And I think that is really inspiring to us, being in between the lines, not being able to put your finger on it, being able to make your own story up about what the songs are rather than being spoon-fed exactly what you know that they have to be about.
Yeah, and it seems very much of the orientation to be live, interactive.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, it's one thing we'd never want to do is just walk up on stage and press play. It's a very interactive experience between the bands, between the machines, and then especially between the band and the audience. We're so fed by the energetic response from the audience, even though the songs are almost entirely through composed. There are solos and there are moments where we are dynamic with each other, but we don't really improvise that much, but it has that intense feeling of improvisation because it's so live. The experience is so live and energetically reflexive of the audience.
Have you got something with us today that we could put on and play a little bit and listen to?
Yeah, I have this remix I finished recently with my friend and band member in D Numbers, Brian Mayhall, and we were asked to do a remix of this band from Denver, Colorado called Paper Bird. They're an incredible acoustic band, and this is our remix of their song called Storm. Oh,
Cool. So as we were listening, we were talking a little bit, but everybody didn't hear that conversation. That I like that the question, you know, how would you describe the genre? You get that pregnant pause, that kind of like, huh, how do I describe, you know, it's kind of in between. And that to me, that reflects something really creative going on. So we come back. We're going to talk a little bit about some events you got coming up. You're listening to A Matter of the Mind, and we are streaming on SantaFe.com. We are back on A Matter of the Mind. I'm Mark Perry, and I'm here with DJ Federici. We've been, I don't know, what have been we've been talking about? In and around and under music and acoustic and electronic and experiential and whatever. And I know that you've got events or are involved in events or promoting events that are coming up, both in Albuquerque and here coming up. So tell us a little about what we got coming up.
Well, yeah, it's a particularly busy week for me on wearing different hats throughout the week. Coming up just tomorrow, Sunday, the 16th of September, is the AHA Festival, which is a progressive arts and music fair in the Rail Yard. It's the second annual. It's put together by a group of local promoters who really wanted to start answering the question of why do young people leave Santa Fe? Mm-hmm. And so we're trying to answer that by creating this amazing free progressive arts and music event. And that's from...
And give them a reason to stay.
And give them a reason to stay. One more reason. Yes. You know, I think any culturally aware city has free events throughout the warm season that aren't just for the older crowd or just for the tourists, that are for a progressive younger crowd or a progressive older crowd.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I went to it last year and I thought it was one of the best events that we had here all year.
Yeah, it really spoke to a lot of people.
Had a very fresh feeling. There were wonderful visual art, some of it very interactive. There were great musicians, and it's going to be even bigger this year from what I understand.
Yep, even bigger this year. We're spreading out into the Rail Yard Park where Meow Wolf is debuting their new installation. Squirrel Mart is going to be over there, and our group Team Everything is hosting a dance stage over there. That'll be running from 2 p.m. to 9 p.m., and there's two live music stages over under the water tower and the farmer's market pavilion. And like I said, it's all free and all ages, and it's going to be a great, great day of art and music. Then a few days.
So that's what time tomorrow?
Starts at 11 a.m. and goes till 9 p.m. It's in the Rail Yard Park and under the water tower and at the farmer's market pavilion.
Okay. And then what's coming up?
After that, D Numbers has been invited, my group has been invited to play the first event, the kickoff for Global Kirky Festival, an amazing world music festival that's been going on a long time in Albuquerque. Yeah. And the event is called Global Kick, and it's at the Hispanic Cultural Center. And we're playing with a band from Brooklyn called Earthrise Sound System. Real excited to be back in Albuquerque and a part of such a cool festival.
Right on.
And then the next day, D Numbers puts on our DJ hats, which we call Numtron, and we're opening up and supporting the return of Miss Ginger, an amazing local DJ who hasn't been on the scene for about a year because she had a baby. But she's feeling up to doing a DJ set for us, and she's had plenty of time to dig for stuff while she's been home with her kids. So I know she's going to present a really cool array of music for us on the 21st of September at Rouge Cat.
Okay, she must have finally gotten some sleep lately or something, huh?
I think maybe he's letting her sleep a little bit.
So tell me a little bit about Numtron. When you say that's the DJ side of D Numbers.
Yeah, well, D Numbers is such an epic production to set up and perform live. That we started doing Numtron more as a way to present D Numbers without actually having to do D Numbers.
Yeah.
Oh, well, we only have this tiny little living room for you to set up, and okay, well, we'll just DJ D Numbers.
Ah, I gotcha. Okay.
And so it's the three of us DJing together under the name Numtron, sort of like a tribute to Voltron, the multi-armed robot.
Gotcha.
From our childhood.
So Numtron and the return of Miss Ginger.
And that's, Friday, this September the 21st at Rouge Cat.
At 9 p.m.
Yep, and that's 21 plus.
Okay.
Sorry, kids. And then one of the shows I'm most excited about is Team Everything in conjunction with the Contemporary Music Program at the Santa Fe University of Art and Design brings An Evening with Nils Fromm. And he is an extraordinary solo pianist from Berlin. He's a contemporary classical pianist. Really heartful, beautiful music. A lot of us saw him perform in Colorado a few months ago. And this will be his debut New Mexican performance at the O'Shaughnessy space at the Santa Fe SFUAD. Santa Fe University of Art and Design. Gosh, that's a mouthful.
Which the college formerly known as?
As College of Santa Fe, my alma mater. Yeah,
yes.
So we're happy to be throwing an event back there. And opening up is Jeremy Blyke, an amazing local composer and musician, is debuting his quartet for Button Reeds and Strings. It's going to be accordion, melody horn, viola, and violin. And that's before Nils Fromm at 7 p.m. on the 23rd of September, Sunday night.
So an extravaganza of contemporary classical music.
Yeah, it's our first contemporary classical show. And, you know, so many of us, though we do mostly dance and electronic music events at home, we love to listen to all kinds of mellow stuff and different genres. But this is something that's just right up our alley, and we're so happy to present shows outside of the electronic music world as well.
Yeah, well, that's kind of been the roots of electronic music from the early days, is the classical into the something cool and contemporary.
It's, right.
You know, I look at it as this is the way that the nerds have transformed themselves into cool.
You said it, man.
You know, talk about creativity at an existential level.
You got it.
That's it right there.
Totally.
Okay, so you know what? I was going to wait a little longer for this, but I'm really wanting to get a little more of a feel for Nils Fromm. So we're going to enter in this a little early, and we're going to take you out at the end of the show with this. At this point, I just really want to invite you. You know, I've had a lot of fun with Paul here today, with Federici here today, and it reminds me how much I enjoy what the creativity. It's as if the creativity of music is to me one of the ways to explore in ways that can seem so infinite and yet have it be so very personal. And I really invite you, as well as you're listening, to think in terms of what would that be for you? What would it be for you this week to be in the exploration and the contemplation of what could be exploring what's infinitely creative and at the same time very personal for you? As we go out here, we're going to play a little track for you from Nils Fromm, and as we do that, just know that what if that infinitely creative and personal is simply a matter of the mind. Blessings.